Thank you, Julie. Great to be up here with speak to you again. We are in this series of life events looking at this short eyewitness account of Jesus' life that we know as the Gospel of John. And we're looking at three short statements that give us a way into understanding Jesus and the life we can have in him. Last week, we heard Jesus say that he is the light of the world and that whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. This week, we turn to the passage we read out a moment ago and we turn to the phrase, I am the good shepherd. Well, I wonder what sort of leader you want. That's the sort of question we might face. If we were facing a general election or thinking about appointing a new captain for the football team or for the golf club, we, of course, could listen, couldn't we, in those situations to the proposed policies that they say they will put in place or the tactics for the team that they would adopt. But possibly the most important factor of a leader is character. What is this person like? What will they do for the country or the team? How will they lead? And we know that character is important, don't we, from sore experience when we've appointed someone to leadership whose character is not up to scratch. For things always come up, don't they, that weren't part of the plan. Events get in the way. And the only guess we can have about how those events will be handled is the character of the leader. Well, it may surprise you that this is what Jesus is talking about when he says, I am the good shepherd. You might think of a shepherd as a person who has a rather lonely existence. They're out in the field keeping watch over the sheep. You might think of a windswept hill maybe in Scotland or Wales. Or maybe you might think of a desolate scene in the Middle East where a shepherd guides his flock from one watering place to the next. And of course, that is the picture that Jesus wants us to lock onto as he tells about himself. But in addition, by using this image, Jesus is tapping into a certain stream of biblical imagery that has at least two emphases. Firstly, in the Old Testament, the leaders of God's people are spoken of as shepherds. This picture is used to speak of them to show that they are bad shepherds. They didn't care for those under their care. They looked out for themselves first and foremost. And into that picture in the Old Testament, God speaks and promises two things. He promises that he'll sort out this problem by coming to shepherd his people. He'll seek them out and rescue them. But we also see a promise that a figure like King David, of David and Goliath fame, if you know that story from the Bible, will become their king and their shepherd. God, the great shepherd, will do this work through his appointed King David. Appointed king just like David. Which brings us back to the picture that Jesus is painting for us in John chapter 10. So what is Jesus telling us about himself? Well, firstly, Jesus is the shepherd promised by those Old Testament promises and images. He is the God-appointed shepherd who comes to seek and save God's people. He is the Lord God who has come to do this work. Now, that's a really bold statement, isn't it? But it's the key piece of data that John in his gospel, this little pamphlet you've got in your hands, that he is trying to show us. He is showing us through this short book, he is building a case that Jesus is the Christ or the appointed one, the Son of God. If you're to take one of these gospels away and read it over the course of the next week or so, you would very quickly see that this is the key focus of his account. John wants to show us who Jesus is. And he does so really clearly in this statement. Jesus is the divine shepherd leader promised in the Old Testament. But Jesus isn't just the shepherd. We see, secondly, something about his quality. He is the good shepherd. And of course, friends, is that not good news? Who wants a bad shepherd? Who wants a bad leader or a bad king who does their job terribly? But how is Jesus the good shepherd? We see this with crystal clarity. Verse 11, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus is the one who will sacrifice himself for his sheep, that they might have life. Jesus helps us see this very clearly in verses 12 to 13. Do look again there, it's page 32, verses 12 to 13. The 12 and the 13 are the sort of smaller numbers. He says, the hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. So this hired hand is useless. He doesn't care for the sheep. He thinks of his own safety instead of the flock. He doesn't try to fight the wolf off the wolf. He doesn't lay down his life. No, he runs away. Would you want that sort of leader, friends? Do we want that sort of king? Do we want that sort of prime minister? If we had a president, would we want that sort of president? Would we want that sort of leader in our football team? Maybe the captain or the coach who, at the first sign of trouble, takes their football boots off and says, well, not for me today, lads. I'm off home. No, we don't want that sort of leader. I wouldn't, and I don't think you would either. Of course, Jesus isn't that sort of leader. He is the opposite. He's the good shepherd. He doesn't run and hide. He cares deeply for his sheep. He knows his people, and it says they know him. And he lays down his life for the sheep. So Jesus is the shepherd leader we would want. He is good, or we might say he is the model that we should aspire to if we were leaders. He does what he should. He loves his people. He cares for them. He lays down his life for them. But why does Jesus need to lay down his life for his people? What's the great problem? The great enemy that they face? Well, as leaders, when they face various challenges in leadership, one of the key tasks, I suppose, is that they face is working out what the challenges are. You know, you take on a football team, and you think, what are the challenges? Well, you look back through the results and you see that we're losing 10-0 every Sunday, so we need to shore up the defense. Or if you become a leader of a country and you realize that the country has mountains of debt, you maybe think we need to sort out the debt problem, or words to that effect. You might do those sorts of things. You need to think, what are the big challenges? Maybe if you've been involved in leadership in a sports team or in a workplace or in some other voluntary organization, maybe you can think of things like that. You've sort of said, what are the problems we need to deal with here? What are the challenges we're facing as a team, as an organization, as a workplace? That's what you do. You sit down and try and work them out. But what is the great challenge to the sheep? That the shepherd lays down his life for them. Well, in the metaphor, the picture that Jesus paints for us, it's this wolf, isn't it, attacking the sheep. You can imagine the scene. A ravenous wolf slavering away, trying to kill the sheep. The hired hand runs, but the good shepherd remains steadfast and lays down his life to protect the sheep. But what is the challenge to us that Jesus offers to lay down his life to solve? Well, in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, we're really helped, and we read a bit of this out earlier on in the service. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 to 6, we read this. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. So what is our problem? We, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way. This is what the Bible calls sin. It's deciding to live our own way and not God's way. And because God is a just and holy God, which of course is the sort of God we all want, isn't it? We all want justice. We all want God to be a fair God, a God who doesn't treat people unfairly. Because God is a just God, we all stand under his just judgment for our rejection of him. So our problem is the sin and judgment we deserve. And it's for this that Jesus lays down his life. He bore our suffering. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed. That's the message of Good Friday at Easter. This is what the Good Shepherd does for the sheep, his people. And who are his people? Well, they are those, verse 16, back in John chapter 10, who will listen to his voice. Who will listen to his voice. And what does Jesus' voice call us to do? He calls each of us to believe in him so that we might have life. Life to the full. Life forever. This is what John wants us to do today when we read this account. John wants us to see who Jesus is. We've seen he is the promised shepherd king who lays down his life so that the sheep might not face the judgment they deserve. John also wants us to respond to the message, to listen to Jesus' voice, to believe in him so that we might have life in his name. Let me encourage you today to do this. To believe in Jesus, to hear his voice call you to trust in him. And let me also encourage you to take away this copy of John's Gospel. It's free for you. If you're a guest here today, please do take it away with you and read it and see for yourself who Jesus is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus is the Good Shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He is the one who bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And with his wounds, we are healed. Help us, Heavenly Father, to put our trust in Jesus today. Amen.